Amen. Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. We're going to bring in Psalms 23 this morning. Psalms 23. You have your Bible? And let's pray before we get going. Psalms 23. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this weather. Thank you that we do live in America. And thank you for our freedom. Thank you for our friends and family. We do pray a special prayer for Wren and his buddies over there serving our country. We pray for all our military around the world. Father, we just ask you to place angels about them and keep them safe and let them do what they are trained to do, protect our country and protect freedom around the world. We pray for our missionaries. We're thanking you for that video this morning that touched my heart, and that's what missions is all about, is reaching those folks that sometimes is unreachable in crazy places. And we thank you for the Shoebox Ministry and Samaritan's Purse. And thank you for our small part in that. And we just thank you for it. And we pray for everyone on the back of our bulletin. Folks need healing. They need a touch from you. Lord, you know each need on the back of our bulletin. Father, we just pray for the folks that are out this morning not feeling well. Some folks are traveling. We just give them over to you. We lay them at the foot of the cross. And Jesus, please help me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalms 23, 1 through 3. And this is a very famous Bible verse. We're going to take a little bit different look at it. Right on? All right. Psalms 23. 1 through 3, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Everybody said amen? So we're going to look at verse 3a. Says he restores my soul. I'm going to stop right there and give you a three minute commercial again. Most of you have heard me say this 100 times. Well, if you let me hang around long enough, I'm going to say it hundreds more. Hundreds more. And the reason is because the Bible talks about it hundreds and hundreds of times. And that is your soul. And I'm believing that the folks that came to my heart this week, that I feel that really needed this, and I feel that everyone needs it, but they're out today. Oh, that gets me every time, you know. But that's okay. I'm not in control of any of this, am I? You know, so there's several people that God just put on my heart, and I pray for them, and I pray for all of you. Some of you I don't pray for, but y'all know I'm just kidding with you, right? But really, I do try to pray for all of you every week. I really do. And God knows my heart about that. But there are certain folks that come up during the week when I'm studying and preparing for my messages, and I just know, man, this is really going to help them. I feel this is good for them. And then they're not here. That's okay. Thank God Derry goes above and beyond getting everything on the websites, and that's a lot for him, man. You know, and I appreciate you, Derry, really, because I have people that say, man, I listened to the message, or I listened to this or that, and it really ministered to me. So, Derry, thank you for your ministry up there. Amen, right? So I pray that they will be able to listen to it sometime in the next few weeks. Your soul. I am a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in this body. Okay, and you guys heard us before if you've been coming, your members here. I am a spirit, and I am going to live forever. I have a soul, and I live in this earth suit, this body. Okay, now, my soul, this is basic theology. I mean, all denominations, Christian, Protestant denominations, even Catholic, believe this. That our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's our soul. You look up this verse and you look up the Hebrew and that word soul, and that's what's going to tell you basically. It's how we think, it's how we feel, and it's how we act. Our behavior, that's part of our soul. How we think, that's part of our soul. That is our soul. It's how we think and how we feel. Got it? So, how do we think? How do we think about ourselves? How do we think about our past? How do we think about our present? How do we think about our future? God is definitely concerned with that. He has written about that. He tries to teach us, guide us, and give us direction in regards to all that. That's our mind, our will. That's what we decide to do. We do this and we do that. We go here, we go there. We don't do this, we don't do that. And then our body, that's the physical part of us, our body. Okay, that's you know, mind, will, and emotions. And those emotions, I don't need to explain that, right? That's how we feel. That's our feelings. Our feelings can be off, our feelings can be up. Our feelings can be great, our feelings can be down. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be transparent with you. I try to be that way because I'm no better than you. Just because I get up here and preach and God's called me to do this, I am no better than you, so please don't put me on a pedestal. But let me tell you, I had a rough week this week, blah, 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 blah. On the way here this morning, I was having feelings like, oh, I just don't know if I can do this anymore. I'm just physically, emotionally tired, right? And I'm thinking, I prepared all week on this message, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I got it. Lord, I think I'm hearing from you. You know? And I get here, and I'm talking to everybody, and then Derry tells me, because I asked Derry to do a few things, in, you know, behind the scenes, and Derry says, guess what? They're playing that song about Jesus leaving the 99. And I thought, oh, okay, great. But I had to go and talk to Angela to see if my Facebook post had manipulated her decision on what to pick. And she says, no, she didn't even see my Facebook post. So this is what my sermon's all about. You'll see in a minute. But God just like threw a spear through my heart and says, it's okay, Dallas, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. Adam knows what I'm talking about, right? I'm on the right track. His grace is sufficient for me. Amen? And so it's interesting how that works out sometimes, but you'll see that. So in our souls, see, I get all freaky out in my soul too, you know, my emotions, I get up and down and that kind of thing, you know. That's called being what? Human being, right? A human being. So, I try to build on that. So, here we go. Now, when I read this, because you look at it first, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, you might think this is funny, but when I read this, what I think about, it reminds me of a precious lamb telling me the story of his papa. A precious lamb telling me the story of his shepherd, his beloved shepherd. Because it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I told you it's going to be funny, right? That's how I see that. It seems like he's talking to me. This little sheep is talking to me. And for whatever reason, it makes me smile. It makes me smile. Think about this little sheep talking to me. If you think about it, you can see his cute little face sharing his heart about his good shepherd, about his shepherd, the shepherd that restores his soul. It's precious. Now, to restore something means to bring it back to its right condition, to bring it back to its original condition. And sometimes, Paul can tell you probably more than anybody, sometimes when we restore things, it can actually be better than it originally was. Is your Broncos a little bit better even when it originally was? Yeah. When we can restore things, it'd be even better. Okay? We restore furniture, we restore cars, automobiles, we restore old houses. So how in the world do you restore sheep? What is their right position? What is their right condition? So to fully really understand this scripture right here, we gotta bounce over to Psalms 42. Okay? And Darius is gonna put that up. Psalms 42. To really understand what it means when it says to restore your soul, Psalms 42 says this. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Now, I've used this so many times in counseling. You know, it's amazing. Because this right here is an answer for most of us when it comes to about being downtrodden or downcast or sad. Right here. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? And right away, it answers the question. Don't miss it by just reading through this. It answers the question. It says, hope in God. For I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Right here, it gives us the answer of why our soul, our emotions, our thinking, our feelings, you know, our behavior, we get a little downtrodden, downcast. It says right here, hope in God. Put your hope in God. Again, praise Him. Again means we were praising Him at one time, right? Praise Him. I'll give you, I was hoping Pete could hear this one today, but hopefully he'll be listening. There's a recent study that I read, an article from UCLA, their Department of Neuropsychology. And they come to the conclusion through this scientific experiment. Some of you will like this, some of you might not. You'll be like, okay, let's move on, Dallas. Here's what they found. That in the brain, the human brain, when it comes to the neurotransmitters and all these chemicals flying off in our brain giving us feelings, here's what they found, Dusty. Here's what they found. That on one side of the brain is where we get the feelings of anxiety. Worry, anxiety, worry. On the other side of the brain, the total other side of the brain, is where we get the feelings of praise and thanksgiving. Gratitude and praise and thanksgiving. They're on two different sides of the brain. Here's what the scientists discovered. That the human brain cannot operate from those both sides of the brain at the same time. Come on, let that sit in. Your brain cannot fire off chemicals at the same time in these different areas of the brain. You're either going to focus in on what you're worried about, what you're anxious about, what you're overly concerned about, or you're going to roll your brain over to this side where you're giving thanks and praise and being grateful. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, come on, give thanks, praise. So I find that very interesting. Right here, the scripture says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Answer, put your hope in God. Praise Him. Thank Him. Amen? Now, in Psalms 42 right there. Everybody still with me? Raise your right hand. No, left hand. In Psalms 42, right? There's 11 chapters. Three times in that verse, the psalmist describes his soul as being cast down. Cast down. So I read that and I started looking at it, looking into it, And the whole message is about that word, cast down. Some translations use the word downcast. Some translations ask this question: why am I discouraged? And why is my heart so sad? I love the NLT version. That's what it says. Either way, it appears that the psalmist speaks of being discouraged and hopeless and sad. That's why Jesus said this, guys. Jesus says, all you who are weary and burdened and heavy laden, he said, come unto me and I'll give you rest for your soul. That's exactly what it says. When you look at that word heavy laden, I was going to ask Adam to do this, but I didn't have time to pull it off. When you're heavy laden, it's like that word laden means a load. Like I start piling a load on. Start piling a load. And that load gets what? Heavier and heavier and heavier. Well, that's literal. There's a figuratively speaking, there's the word here is in the Greek is called bear with me here, right? I've said about 10 times, I wouldn't mess it up, now I'm freaking out. It's and fortizo. Sorry, I'm not trying to impress you, but I just like that kind of stuff. Fortizo is the Greek word, and what that means is, like, figuratively speaking, it means spiritual anxiety. If I put a big sack of sand on Adam's back, he's a strong guy, young guy, pretty soon he's not going to be able to go, isn't he? It's going to put him down to the floor. Well, this word is the same word in the Greek. It means to be like spiritually anxious. In other words, I got to clean the house. I got to wash the dishes. I got to do the laundry. I got to pay the bills. Right? I got to pray for my son. I got to do my Bible study. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do this. And pretty soon in our mind, we're just taking in all this load. I know you guys have never done that, hey? Looking at me like, right? That's the spiritual anxiety that really Jesus was speaking into right here. And this is where we get a load on our soul. Mind, will, and emotions. It causes a load. Even with college students, going to school, going to college. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Pretty soon it's like, whew, I don't know if I can take this. This is a lot. Holy camoli. I thought I was going to maybe break this into two. You guys still good? I keep going? All right, so while being cast down certainly includes the idea of being discouraged or despondent, there's a much deeper meaning I think God wants us to hear this morning. And here's the deeper meaning. And it can be missed. If you don't know that much about sheep, you can miss it. I certainly did. And still this week I started studying a lot about sheep. I even bought a book on Amazon. It's going to be here any day. I'm going to take it with us on our cruise. What? Take it us on our cruise so I can read this cool book, you know. And most of us didn't grow up on a sheep farm around here, right? And but here's the interesting part. The psalmist was writing this. His audience at that time were nomadic people. They were shepherds. And they understood exactly, Mr. Jerry, they understood exactly what it meant to be cast down, because they were always looking and watching out for a cast down sheep. So what does a cast down sheep look like? That is a cast down sheep. So how does a sheep get like this? How do they get in this portion? This position, I mean. How do they get in this position? Well, according to the sheep experts, and trust me, there's some sheep experts out there. There's like this website that I got lost in, and I thought I was going to lose my mind looking at statistics and everything about sheep. And I was like, oh, I got to get out of this. You know. And so I finally was able to swim my way out of this website. And I'm going to kind of just read you some things I got down here, okay? Because I think it's that important. But I want you to listen. I want you to listen to the, metaphorical points. Just listen to the points that may or may not apply in our life. Y'all ready? Here we go. Sheep get like this, and this is kind of how it happens. The sheep lies down to rest, and it tries to get a comfortable position. At this time, everything within its body shifts. If the sheep panics and begins to thrash around, the situation becomes worse as gravity takes over. Suddenly, the sheep's feet no longer touch the ground. Before long, with one final shift of its internal organs, the sheep finds itself completely on its back, all four legs pointing skyward. If the sheep is left in this position, the sheep will die within a matter of hours. That's why a shepherd watches so closely for a cast down sheep. And also, we all know this, when a sheep or a lamb wanders off from the flock, it can be attacked and killed by predators. It reminds me of Matthew, verse 18, 12 through 13. Let me read. Derry puts up the picture. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hill and go out to search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. Amen? This is a precious picture to me. Some of you have seen it. It's a little lamb running away, kind of stuck in the mud. And there's his shepherd, which kind of looks like Jesus to me, right? The shepherd's running. You notice he's running. It's precious. Jesus will run after his lost sheep. He will find them, and he will bring them back to the flock. If you have lost loved ones, or maybe loved ones that are just not walking, you know, the Christian life, maybe not going to church anymore, Jesus is running after them. He will bring them back in to the fold. He will bring them back in to the family. You keep trusting God. You keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? Jesus will bring them home. Keep trusting. Keep believing. He loves you and he loves them. He loves them with an everlasting love. Now, according to these same sheep experts, okay, this is an interesting fact. 72% of sheep die from non-predator reasons. And I had to look it up, right? But in North America, coyotes, they get some sheep now. Coyotes kill over 80% for you, man, you'll like this. Coyotes kill over 80% of the sheep in North America. And then after that, it's all these crazy critters like panthers and mountain lions and even stray dogs, you know. So coyotes get their business going for sure. Most sheep die from old age. Really? Most sheep die from old age. They get old, they get fat, and they lose their balance and they fall over. They fall and they can't get up. No pun intended, right? Seriously, they become cast down sheep. Now when the shepherd finds one of these cast down sheep, he immediately starts a process to restore the sheep to an upright position. He begins the process of restoring them. Now, allow me again to just read this to you right here. First, the shepherd gently rolls the sheep onto its side. After giving the sheep time to adjust to being back on its side, the shepherd lifts it into a standing position, all the while evaluating its stability. If the sheep has been down for a long time and is wobbly, the shepherd will straddle the sheep while he rubs its legs to get the circulation going. Not until the sheep's equilibrium has fully returned will the shepherd send it back to join the rest of the flock. Now this gentle process, of returning them back to the flock is what it's really talking about in Psalms 23 when it says, He restores my soul. Our human nature is we want it quick, now. But God's plan might be He needs some time to work on your family members. He may need some time to work on what's going on in your life. It's a process to restore my soul. That word restore in the Hebrew there is another fancy word, but anyway, it means to bring back. It means to repair. That word restore means to return to the upright position the way God intended for it to be. No wonder this precious lamb was so excited about talking about his shepherd, his papa, his good shepherd. No wonder he was so excited about that. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? It's a beautiful picture of the intimate, compassionate relationship between the good shepherd and his sheep. It's beautiful. John 10:11-15. Jesus says this, and listen closely. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. You see, a hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him. And he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. And just as my Father knows me, I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. And that's what Jesus said. And I'll close with this. If everything in your world has suddenly shifted, and you found yourself on your back, maybe, unable to move, I want you to take heart. Take heart and be courage. Be encouraged. Your good shepherd will restore your soul. He will. You may be on your back right now, but he will not leave you there. Getting you back on your feet is a process, and at times you may feel a little lightheaded or weak at your knees. But the good shepherd is there with you. He's there with you every day. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. I am so grateful. I am so grateful that I have a shepherd who loves me. He loves me enough to pick me up when life knocks me down. If he loves me that much, surely I could trust him when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, my friends, that's a sermon for another time. Amen. For this week, I will rejoice in the gift of restoration. Do you know the Good Shepherd this morning? Do you know Jesus this morning? If not, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can settle that. If you've never accepted Christ in your heart, today is that day. You can settle it today. Not being religious, not playing church, but just you and God. You can settle that today. Let's all close our eyes, bow our heads. And if you're here this morning and you would like to get saved, you would like to dedicate your life to Jesus, you can do that sitting right there in your pew. You say this with me. You just say this prayer with me. Say, God, the best way I know how, I give you my life. I place my faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I repent of my sins. From this day forward, I'm going to serve you, God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning the first time, or maybe you rededicated your life, you knew it in your heart and you want to rededicate your life, please get with me after the service. If you'd like to come to this altar and pray, one of these men can pray with you, that's fine too. God loves you. He does. Loves you with an everlasting love. I love you. Amen.